Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air, once again with the show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don'ts. And I am, not zooming in, but we are virtually talking, and Rosalie is on the other line down in LA, and I am here in my driveway in my Airstream because it was the only quiet place I could find. So if you're watching a video, you can kind of see the abode. But anyway, so you were just in our neighborhood. We were just talking before the show, and you have some interesting information about being in the NorCal area. So you flew up to LA, or you flew up to SAC from LA this week, or last week.
Yeah, just this, right. So I just want to preface this by saying that I have friends, family, and obviously business relationships that reside in the, beautiful foothills. So I am not anti-Northern California, nor am I anti really anything, okay? But, so I flew out of Burbank, and the thing was that a podcast that I really like, they're doing a series of kind of live shows cross country, and they only can go to so many a year. And the closest they were going to get to me this year was Sacramento. And someone might say, well, Sacramento is not exactly Los Angeles, but when you have people in, Auburn and Grass Valley and, you're from there. Yeah. So I bought tickets, and then I drug Shannon, who I don't know if you know this, Andrew, but she's not a true crime person. So I had to prep her. No, she might be a little bit now, but she's not, she's so bright and sunny, and she's all about flowers and rainbows. So I got her primed. And she was like, let's do this. So she picked me up from the airport, and I had seen a place to stay. I thought, instead of us, what we would usually do is pick me up in Sacramento. We do what we're going to do. We drive all the way to Grass Valley. And then the next day, you're going to drop me back up at the airport. And then she's going to have to all this. And so I said, listen, let's just stay in Sacramento.
Hour 20 minutes drive. Yeah. The whole bit. Yeah. Each way.
And ironically, she actually was traveling for work on Monday, so she was going to make the same drive. And so I said, listen, I'll just get us a reasonable, lodging, and I'll just pick it up, and then we're good. And so she said, okay. She was a little concerned about my decision-making, but she's known me my whole life, so that explains it.
Yeah.
Yes. Which could be a whole nother podcast. We should probably create that on the side. So I found this place that was Wyndham Property, and it was a rebranded Howard Johnson's. And I was like, the pictures look great. We're going to go to a show. We're going to be coming back at like 10, 11 o'clock at night, going to sleep, getting up the next day. That's it. It's just for sleep. Oh my goodness. So she had a business call. She had to be on at 2 o'clock. So we needed to be at the hotel, or turns out motel. And so she said, well, let's drive past it and let's check in. And so she puts it into GPS, and it has us driving through Discovery Park, I think it's called. And, it was beautiful, but it was like kind of creepy. It was super abandoned, and there was like nobody in the park, and it was a nice spring day, and it was kind of weird. And we saw a bunch of folks on the fringes of the park. And then we pull in, and she looks at me and she goes, is this where you booked us? And I was like, pictures on the internet are very different than what you see. So we drove around the building, and she said, every door, like every way to get into your hotel room, is the doors are out facing like outside. And she goes, and you see those people climbing up the fences? Do you see the people?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. And then she said, so let me ask you a question. Do you think that's going to get better? or worse after it gets dark.
Right. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Point taken. She's like, do you think I have my car paid off? And I was like, okay, like I, you have all these points, right? Like, I'm right. So sorry.
They're all valid.
So, yeah. So then she got on the GPS machine real quick and we ended up across town over, off Truxell at some really boutique-y, amazing. It was amazing. It was like, if IKEA made hotels, it would be it, like, that's what it was like. And, it was clean. There was security in the parking lot and it was nice and quiet. So, yes,
no fentanyl zombies walking around the parking lot. Yeah.
Not that I saw.
We were talking about it offline and I had a similar situation, similar experience myself. Cause I had an early meeting in downtown, like on Capitol Mall. And I'm like, yeah, this is a cheap hotel. I don't, you know, I just need a place to sleep. Same thing. It's like right next to the gas station, people in and out of the gas station, riding their bikes in and out of the gas station, you know, and women work in the street. And some zombies walking around and some people laying around that were obviously not all there. Yeah. It's it's right. Yeah. You know, right downtown, right on the river, right on the edge of Business 80 and between Business 80 and the river. So yeah, you got that little strip there and there's a bunch of hotels and oh my goodness. Yeah. I won't do that again. I ended up spending the night there just cause I'm a dude and I'm cheap. But my wife's like, you did what? You stayed where? You do realize you can spend more than $150 for a hotel room. And she's like, this was a business expense actually, because you were going to a business thing. And So yeah, I haven't stayed there again. Cause yeah, it's, So for all you that listen out there, you might want to think about, you know, if you got a thing downtown, stay in down. Actually, yeah, there's some nice ones like right near the conference. Can't remember the name of it, downtown.
By the arena and things is probably fine.
It's not too bad. It's still a little sketch, but it's not as bad as near the river. Oh man, right near the river because so many people are hanging out in the woods out there.
Lesson learned. Yeah,
and this the fentanyl zombies that freaked me out because it's just like, man, are they going to wig out on me or what? And you know, that look, that kind of like draggy look, and they're just kind of like, they're not there, but they're kind of there.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah.
I will say this really quickly. I'm not afraid of, being unhoused is an issue all across this country, but
yes.
In my neighborhood in Los Angeles, I have unhoused people but there's a different, this was a totally different experience. This was not just that. So it was like, okay.
A lot more yelling, a lot more commotion. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is a sad situation and I would love something to be done, but yeah. It's not something that
you just have to be,
especially you guys, females, you don't want to exactly have a hotel room and I'm in a motel that has a door to the outside for your room. Right. That was the other thing. Yeah. Yeah. At least I stayed in a hotel. So I had to go, I was on the third floor. So, and there was the guy that was working the counter was probably like 400 pounds and 6'5". He was a big dude. Like I think that's why they hired him, right? To watch the door. Right? He was more bouncer than
he was. Those are his qualifications.
Concierge, right?
100%. So yeah. So in those situations with my sister, I'm usually the bouncer. So we decided not to take our chances. So anyway, right. Show, made it back home. And, here we are talking about the fascinating world of plumbing because it's ABT time.
It is. So why do you guys come here? So yeah. So let's start off though, because I'm gonna lead in with some of the stuff that we've been talking about on our advertising. So as you know, if you guys listen to this radio station, we've got these crazy deals: $29 water heater, flush and plumbing inspection, a $29 HVAC. Which includes both the furnace and the air conditioner. So if you haven't had your air conditioner serviced, I know, we're recording today on Wednesday and it's going to be in the 70s today by Friday. I think we're recording on Tuesday. By Wednesday, it's supposed to be 75. So it's going to be starting to warm up again. So time to get that air conditioner checked out before it gets hot. Also, $29 electrical inspection. If you've had any power outages this winter, might want to have us come out there and take a look at it. If you live in a house that hasn't been and you haven't had your electrical inspected for over 20 years, definitely have us come out. It's just $29. We'll come out and make sure everything's working safely. And then we've got the $97 drain cleaning special. We'll clear any drain in a residence with an accessible clean out for $97. If we don't clear it, it's free. And then finally, it's Earth Day month. It's April. So we've got a EV charger. We've been getting a lot more calls for this for electric car charging stations for your home. We've got a 15% off this month. Give us a call for a quote, 530-230-9092, 530-230-9092. So with that, moving forward, our lovely producer has gotten me this great list of things to look at. That's always the challenge of trying to figure out what we're going to talk about once again. So this is great. So the importance of knowing your home's plumbing layout. This is something we've talked about before in this show, but it's great to go over again. Here are some reasons why you want to know where your plumbing stuff is. Emergency situations. Yeah, we all have those. You want to know where that water shutoff is. If you don't know where your water shutoff is, definitely either have us come out and let you know, or if you're on NID, have NID come out and let you know. You want to know how to shut that water off, because like I've described before, if you've ever dropped a gallon of water, a gallon of milk on the ground, and what a big puddle that can make, imagine 8 to 10 gallons a minute coming out of a broken water line, and then you're struggling trying to find that water shut off. If you don't know where it is, it could take you 15, 20 minutes. The next thing you know, you got 1,000 gallons of water in your house. And that's, you know, a considerable amount of damage. So you really want to know where that water shut off is. You also really want to know where your gas shut off is. That one, you know, you're going to need a tool to turn the gas shut off, because they're typically just a square valve handle. Or a rectangle, and you'll need either a pair of pliers or crescent wrench or an actual gas valve wrench that you can buy at any of the hardware stores for, I think they're under $10. And if you don't know where that is, PG&E will come out and show you where and how to turn the gas shut off. So, you know, I know we don't have a lot of earthquakes up here, but hey, New York City just had an earthquake last week, right? And I know I've lived up here for 24 odd years, and I know I've experienced three. I know we just had one in Quincy a couple weeks ago, right? So they do happen. So you want to know where that gas shutoff is. Also, you know, heaven forbid somebody does something silly, like knocks into something or moves a gas appliance, and suddenly the gas pipe is ruptured. You want to know where the shutoffs are. You also want to know where the shutoffs are for each individual fixture. So within 3 feet of each fixture, code requires us to install an emergency shutoff valve. So underneath the sinks, you're going to find what we call an angle stop or an emergency shutoff valve. So you can just isolate that particular fixture and not have to turn your whole house off. Underneath your toilet, you've got a valve that's underneath there. On top of your water heater, there's a valve on top of there for the cold water inlet. You can turn the water off there. Know where all these things are. For gas appliances, within 3 feet of every gas appliance, there's going to be they're called gas cocks. It's a gas valve. And those are typically just quarter turn, and you turn them to, it's usually a clockwise, you know, righty tighty, lefty loosey kind of thing. You can turn off that fixture. So knowing where all these things are will really help you in the event of emergency. I'm kind of a plan B, C, D kind of guy. I want to have all that information in my brain. So in the event that something happens, I'm prepared and I can deal with it. It also makes it more efficient for repairs, knowing the layout of your house. So, you know, if something happens, you can kind of have an idea of, yeah, oh yeah, it's my bathroom and my guest bath, and I know it's the fixture XYZ, kind of knowing where the pipes go. I know it's weird. You're probably not going to climb underneath your house or crawl underneath your house, but if you do have that ability and are curious, it's not a bad idea to crawl underneath your house and take a look at all the plumbing and make sure that everything's working, and also you kind of get an idea of where the layout is. But we also do that for that $29 water heater special too. We'll crawl underneath your house and make sure everything's right, everything's good. If you're planning for renovations, it's also really good to know where all these things are. And especially if you have a septic system, you want to know where your leach field is. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to clear a drain and found a deck post on top of the lid for the septic tank. Happens all the time. You know, you can't get into the septic tank. So, and the septic tank that really needs to be serviced should be inspected every 3 to 5 years and pumped every, you know, whenever it needs to be pumped, depends on how much you use it, but inspected at least every 3 to 5 years, pumped every, I think it's like every 10 years or something like that. Or 3 to 5, depending on how much usage you have. So you want to know where all those things are. And you obviously don't want to be parking your car on your leach field. Cause if you damage your leach field, we've also talked about this on the show, it may be an easy repair, but if you're on a half acre lot and your building was built in the '80s when, a lot of, the inspections up here were, let's just say, a lot looser than they are now, you may not be able to install a new septic system, a standard septic system. You may have to go for an engineered system, which typically are in excess of about $40,000 on up. I've seen them go in for as much as $120,000. So, you know, if you damage your septic system, you may be on the hook for this ridiculous expense. So know where those things are, really helpful. And we can help you figure that out too. So for $29, we can come out, flush your water heater, which you should be doing on a yearly basis anyway, and give you the lay of the land, show you where all those emergency shutoff valves are, show you where, we may not be able to show you where your leach field is, but if we see a riser tank, riser lids for your septic system, we can at least tell you where your septic system is and kind of give you an idea where we think it might be. But we'll be able to tell you where all the water shutoff and gas shutoffs are and where your electrical shutoffs are as well. That's the other thing too. Where's your circuit breaker? You want to be able to know where your breaker box is. And if you have multiple systems, like a lot of houses will have the main panel and then they'll have a sub panel somewhere inside the house. So you want to know where all those things are in the event that you have a power outage that's isolated to one fixture or one appliance, and it may just be a breaker that tripped. And it could be I was dealing with this with a friend of mine yesterday. She plugged in she unfortunately has cancer, but she's doing okay. But she put a refrigerator in her bedroom so she didn't have to walk as far, and said refrigerator started tripping breakers and it just couldn't handle the load, and we had to move the refrigerator onto a different circuit. But having the experience of knowing where that breaker was and realizing that it was a fixture and not, it was an appliance, not the breaker itself, was really helpful. So know where those things are. Also it can help, you know, identify common plumbing problems. So you want to know whether or not you can fix it yourself. Is it a DIY kind of situation, or do I need to call a professional? We've kind of talked about that as well. I'm talking a lot.
I mean, I think
I'm not letting you talk.
The dripping faucets. Well, I don't think people tune in to hear me, but if you do, hey, thanks.
They do.
Write the show. Let me know. So I think that the dripping faucets is, we've talked about that a lot. It's oftentimes a cartridge replacement, right? I mean, that can be that simple. So
it can be, yeah,
I that mean, seems like a.
We stopped replacing rubber washers. Gosh. Probably 20 years ago. Now we just replace the entire guts. So, you know, fixing a drippy faucet is one of those situations where, yeah, it can be a DIY thing or it can be a plumber thing, depending on your level of expertise. One of the biggest problems that I find with working on drippy or working on faucets these days is how to pull the handle off, how to pull the trim off, the handle and the escutcheon. A lot of them have these hidden screws now. Some of them, you don't even have screws, and it's literally just you pound them on with your fist, and you have to pull them off really hard. But if you don't know that, and you're pulling on this thing, and it's got an Allen screw that's hidden on the back, you know, and you could be spending all day trying to figure that out. Speaking from experience, I've spent an hour trying to figure out how to pull a handle. Granted, this was before the internet. Now I can look at the internet and hopefully find how to pull the handle, but that can be 9/10 of the job is just figuring out how to pull the handle. Once you pull the handle, then obviously it's not terribly difficult. You know, if you're handy, you can probably do it yourself. Pull the cartridge, take it into the hardware store, get like for like, and put a new one in.
And you know, then the other thing, kind of really quickly, is the clogged drain thing. You know that my favorite thing is to clear the drain without chemicals. That's my favorite. Only because I have been splashed with those chemicals before, and not on my face, but like all over my pants. Like what?
Yeah.
And it was in my eye. The interesting thing.
Fun.
Well, the interesting thing is I was pouring in a bathroom drain, and where it splashed out was on my pants, but I didn't notice it. And then later I looked down and I had all these holes in my pants and I was like, okay, first off, I hated these pants. That's fine. But it was like, so if it's doing that to my pants, what is it doing to the plumbing?
What's it doing? You know, it kind of freaks me out. What's it doing to your skin? Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, my favorite is to go chemical free, right? You know about the trick. I won't bore everyone with the baking soda, a little bit of vinegar.
How do you do it?
So
that's
a
DIY thing.
I do it all the time. I do it all the time. There are recipes. Okay. I don't use recipes, but I pour baking soda it's usually my bathroom sink, pour baking soda around it. And then I follow that up I let it sit for a couple minutes. Then I follow it up with some vinegar, and that usually causes a fizzy reaction. I let that work for about 10, 15 minutes. And then I follow that up with, you know, hot water for a little while. And usually the kind of stuff in my bathroom sink would be disgusting old toothpaste, that kind of stuff. So that does tend to fix my problem. I don't know that that's going to fix every problem, of course, but it's the best course of action. And then if I did bring a plumber on the scene, I would tell them.
It's probably like 90% of the time.
I would tell them that I had done that.
Because
even though it's not chemicals, it's still, there's a reaction in the pipe somewhere. So I would still tell them that I had done that. So that's kind of easy. But real quick, before we completely get out of Dodge here, when to call a professional, would you agree with this? If you have low water pressure, that would be something you would call a plumber over.
It depends. If it's isolated to a fixture, it could just be an aerator, or it could be like, if you've got a faucet that's low, that's not, that is low pressure, you can do the vinegar in a plastic bag and a rubber band and just immerse the aerator. You don't have to take the aerator off. Just put vinegar into this plastic bag with a rubber band and tie it to the spout. And that 9 times out of 10, that'll take care of it. If you've got a shower head that is kind of wonky, it's spraying weird or it's low pressure, a lot of times you don't even have to pull that off. You can just take a bag and put some vinegar in it, do the same thing. What happens is when you heat water, we've talked about this before, when you heat water, you drop the minerals out of the water, the calcium and magnesium, and they calcify onto the fixture. And so 9 times out of 10, it's just clogging the aerator or the shower head, and some vinegar will take care of it. Sometimes you do have to remove them because there may be some grit in there as well. And there's typically a screen that can get clogged. But a lot of times, even in those screens, we'll find white flecks and not sand. And it's just, again, the minerals that are breaking free and, you know, they've migrated from the water heater into the fixture, and vinegar will solve that problem, just like it will in a coffee maker.
If it was low water pressure throughout the house, though, that's when you'd want to have
the pro
come in, right?
That's something different. That's probably a plumbing issue. It's probably in time for a repipe. Another thing that it's not on this list is high water pressure. If you've got high water pressure, we have been training our guys. We've always trained our guys to check the water pressure because high water pressure just can affect the entire system. So plumbing fixtures are designed to work within parameters of 40 to 80 PSI. Anything less, we need to pump it. Anything more, we need to reduce the level. So it's kind of like running your car at redline all the time. If it's above 80 PSI, it'll work. But eventually you're gonna have catastrophic failure somewhere and could cost you a lot of money. And I liken it to, I try to train our guys with the idea, like when we go to the doctor, what's the first thing they do, whether it's you've got the flu or a broken leg, they check your blood pressure because it could be a systematic issue that could be causing a lot of other problems. And the same thing goes with high water pressure or low water pressure. So in any event, those are things, up in time. Give us a call, 530-230-9092, 530-230-92. Take advantage of our $29 specials or 15% off EV charging and $97 drain cleaning. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.